Today, my dear faithful, is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, and the Mass for today is taken from the 5th Sunday after the Epiphany. And now for the Epistle, taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the multitudes. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? And he said, No, lest perhaps, gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Suffer both to grow into the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle, and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather ye into my barn. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some time ago, my dear faithful, there was a devout young girl whom we shall call Genevieve. Now, Genevieve's father was a doctor, and he often had his little daughter come along with him to the hospital so that she could visit the Sisters of Charity who were nurses at the hospital. One particular afternoon, just after school, he asked if Genevieve would like to come along with him again for a quick trip to the hospital. He just needed to pick up some papers at the office. And, of course, the little girl gladly agreed, and so off they went. Her father went into the office, while Genevieve went off to find the Sisters of Charity that she had befriended. To her disappointment, though, she was able to see them only for a short time, as the sisters were very busy that day. And so this young girl headed back to her father's office through the hospital to wait there for him to finish. On the way, though, while she was walking past a certain hospital room, a man's voice echoed through the hallway, filling the air with curses and swears. Genevieve turned and saw an older man lying in a sick bed, his face twisted in anger at one of the Sisters of Charity. The religious sister quietly walked out of the room, while the patient watched her with fury written across his face. As the nurse left, though, the man saw this innocent young girl at his door, with a look of shock and sadness plainly on her face. The man quickly fell silent, staring at her in shame. And little Genevieve, for her part, immediately walked to him and said, in all innocence, You said some curse words, That is not right. The grown man fidgeted nervously in his bed, but he still said nothing. And so this young girl continued, "Tell God that you are sorry, and he will forgive you." Then a look of sadness crossed the man's face as he said, "God hasn't much use for me. I often talk that way." Genevieve thought for a moment, then said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you my little statue of the Sacred Heart. Every time you feel like cursing, just look at our Lord and say, 'My Jesus, mercy.'" Just then, her father came in, and he said, "There you are. It's getting late. Time to go home." A good girl, Genevieve followed after her father, but she did stop for a moment to glance back at the sick man. The next day, Genevieve went with her father again to the hospital. She did just as she promised, bringing her statue of the Sacred Heart and placing it by the man's bedside. The sick man smiled gratefully at her generosity and thanked her for this gift. Genevieve asked him how he was feeling, and then followed that question immediately up with another, "Did you go to confession?" The man's smile at the kindness of her question of how he was feeling gave way to that shame-faced look of the day before, as he shook his head and said, "I have not been to confession since I made my first Holy Communion." "My poor bad man," said Genevieve, "how black your soul must be. Tell God you are sorry and tell your sins to the priest. God will forgive you." "I have been too bad," the man demurred, as he sadly shook his head. "God does not love me anymore." "Yes, he does," Genevieve exclaimed, "but maybe you have forgotten. The next time I come, I am going to bring my pictures of his passion." And so it was for a third day in a row. The little girl sat next to the sick man's bed, this time holding her pictures of the stations of the cross. She explained each picture, leading him along the way of the cross. She pointed out all that our Lord suffered, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, and death itself. And all this Christ suffered for love of all men, including him, this poor sinner. Throughout this, the man listened intently to every word, and finally he sighed and said, "You win. Go and get the priest." The priest soon came, heard the man's confession, and gave him Holy Viaticum and the last rites. After it was all over, the man turned to Genevieve and peacefully smiled at her. He thanked her for all her kindness towards him. And soon after that, he passed away at peace with God. My dear faithful, in today's gospel, our Lord tells the parable of the field of wheat and cockle. The field represents the world, and God is its owner. The wheat that he had planted are all the souls who have sanctifying grace. These are to be taken into his barn of heaven. However, an enemy, the devil, has planted cockle or weeds among those good souls. These weeds are sinners that the devil has led down the path of sin. As the owner says in the gospel, these sinners are to be burned, and the fire that will punish them is the eternal fire of hell. Heaven or hell, each and every soul ever created has an eternal destiny. Each one will be judged at the end of their lives, and they will be found either worthy to enjoy the bliss of heaven or punished with the pains of hell. What is not included in the parable of today's gospel is that the cockle can be turned into wheat. Any soul, no matter how black they become through sin, can be converted to leading a good Catholic life by God's grace. But God's grace often does not work alone. He so often uses instruments. As Father Garrigou Lagrange, the eminent theologian of the faith, he wrote, "It is never by chance that two immortal souls meet." In other words, every time two people meet, God foresaw that meeting beforehand, and he has a plan for that particular meeting. As Father Lagrange continues explaining, be it that they are each in the state of grace, or that only one has the divine life of grace, the soul can, by its prayers, its attitude, its example, bring the other to the right road which leads to eternity. What he was saying here is that we are to help our neighbor save his soul. That is true charity, true love of neighbor. Theologians define charity as a divinely infused virtue by which we love God as the highest good for his own sake, and our neighbor and ourselves for God's sake. Charity thus includes our neighbor, loving them for the sake of God, and it does not mean we have to love them for their own sake. We often may not like our neighbor, naturally speaking. There may be something about them that rubs us the wrong way, so to speak. Just as I'm sure there are things about each one of us that others struggle to bear in us. But charity does not ask us to like our neighbor. Rather, it demands we love them. It demands that we are ready to help them in some way, if it be possible. Charity seeks good for the one loved, especially the good of happiness. And the highest good a person can have is the eternal bliss of heaven. Little Genevieve in the story, in all her innocence, she practiced true Christian charity. What did she find when she first met her poor bad man, as she nicknamed him? A bedridden sick man, filled with rage, cursing and swearing at a consecrated religious sister. But that is not the most likable of people, but that did not daunt this little girl. She saw a soul committing sin, and she went to help lift that soul up out of that mire. And the reason she did this and was able to have such a powerful effect on that man was on account of her pure love for God. Of course, she did have one great asset that not everyone has, the sweetness of youthful innocence. It is not often possible to do what she did, and yet we can practice that same charity. This is by giving good example to our neighbor, especially through kindness. As one author put it, kindness has converted more sinners than either zeal, eloquence, or learning, and these three have never converted anyone unless they were kind also. That is how each of us can help win souls to God. As Father Garrigou Lagrange tells us, to bring these souls to the right road which leads to eternity. So, my dear faithful, I urge you to work for the cause of God. Help save the mortal souls of your neighbor by practicing that simple, humble virtue of kindness. Kindness in word, kindness in deed, these are the easiest ways to practice that love for neighbor, that love for God demands of us. Holding back that caustic comment, lending a hand instead of standing by to watch, These little acts of generosity can have untold effects on souls. And today, when so many souls are lost amidst today's confusion, when there is so little to help them and lead them to God, who more than we, these few Catholics remaining true to the faith, who more than we should practice that charity that God demands of us? This is part of the Catholic faith, part of your love for God. God has given us the gift of the faith, but as our Lord forewarned us, unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. Much truly has been given to us, and so much will be required of us. Live your Catholic faith then, my dear faithful. Practice charity toward your neighbor, kindness in word, kindness in deed. These are the ways you can win souls for God. It is true, you may not be thanked in this life. You may not be appreciated. But at the end, when you stand at your judgment seat, before the judgment seat of God, you will then see what good you have done for souls. For then you will behold all those persons God has used you to give grace to, souls that you helped to heaven by your charity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.